Welcome to Celebrating Whole Health, a program focusing on remembering, reinvigorating, and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person healthcare. Each week, we profile the work of a nurse dedicated to providing compassionate, patient-centered care. I'm your host, Georgiana Donadio, director of the New England School of Whole Health Education in Boston.
Today, it's a great pleasure to have Dr. Carla Moriano from New York University School of Nurse Practitioner, Holistic Nurse Practitioner Program, which is the first of its kind in the United States. Carla, you were so poignantly sharing with us a metaphor between the holism that we are all talking about and New York City. And it was very moving and very touching, and Bill and I agreed at the break, our producer agreed, that we got goosebumps listening to you. I also felt like I wanted Barbara Streisand to jump in and sing People, because isn't this about people needing people? We really need each other, and we want to talk about an issue near and dear to the hearts of all of us in holistic care, about the consensus, the consciousness that we are interdependent to and that we're all moving towards with each other. If you want to speak to, I know that that's built into your program, if you want to speak to that and how nursing is, isn't this about people needing people? We really need each other, and we want to talk about an issue near and dear to the hearts of all of us in holistic care, about the consensus, the consciousness that we are interdependent to and that we're all moving towards with each other. If you want to speak to, I know that that's built into your program, if you want to speak to that and how nursing is being invited through holistic nursing back to the core of the Florence Nightingale philosophy.
Well, Georgiana, I think that in our program, one of the things that we do is focus very, very much on the student and the student's development. And we feel this is so important because the holistic nurse has to be on a healing journey, him or herself, in order to facilitate someone else's healing. And we are not the healer. The client or the individual is the healer. And we share that consciousness of healing, but we don't do the healing. We just provide the environment. And as Nightingale said, we put the patient in the best environment for healing to occur. And it's so important for people who are in holistic nursing to be aware of their own values and beliefs, where they're coming from, their own issues, in order to work those through. Because if they don't, issues become about them and not about their clients. So when we talk about this shared consciousness, it's almost like a co-creation of a new reality. There's a specialness in this relationship that's oftentimes very different, because the nurse is acting as the healing environment for the client. The nurse is the intervention. And that's what's so different, I think, about holistic nursing than about other types of healthcare delivery.
I would absolutely agree with you. That was so clearly well said. I think that you're touching on something that is very important for us to talk about. And I tend to like to go into areas that may not always be easy to talk about, but we do need to explore them. You addressed the issue of, if we do not take a look at ourselves and process our lives, our healing, our areas, be they physical, emotional, chemical, environmental, or spiritual, then what happens is often our interventions with patients can become about ourselves. And I know people are listening. I know you've had lots of experience with this. We all know of situations where either in nursing or in medicine with a physician or even with a medical professional who is in some capacity working with a patient, very often we can trip over our own issues, and rather than serve and be present and witness to our patient, we are actually projecting and processing something that has nothing to do with that individual in front of us, but has to do with our own need to move towards wholeness. So if you want to speak a little more about that, I think that this is a very important area that we become willing to discuss more, because this is, I think, the tremendous value that holism and holistic nursing brings to the medical environment.
Exactly. Letting go of the outcome is so important. Not expecting or anticipating that something that we want to occur is going to occur. Letting outcomes evolve. Getting your ego out of the way. We all want success when we deal with clients and patients. We all want a particular action to take place, and sometimes that doesn't occur because healing is so individual. And if we can just let go and let happen what needs to happen, not what we want to happen, but what needs to happen, and respect and honor that and appreciate that, then I think we can share the joy of healing with the client, rather than get frustrated when something doesn't occur.
Very much so. And isn't that so well identified? The problem, Carla, and this is where we step a little into the murk here, because all of us who have been trained in the healing arts, we all know, if we are being candid with one another, we can say to each other that we were trained to be doers, we were trained to be healers, and we were trained to see ourselves as experts, which requires a certain ego structure. Mm-hmm. And so here comes along this beautiful consciousness, this holism and this holistic philosophy. And what it says is, in order for this philosophy to really be integrated into healthcare, we have to, in a way, push away a bit. We have to get that expert ego out of the way. And isn't that where a lot of, shall we say, attention comes in many working medical environments, where we're having this duality that's going on?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I often say to students, if it weren't for the client, we would be out of a job. So why is our ego in the way? I mean, they are our teachers. We are the learners. We have certain expertise, but our expertise is to teach and to provide options. And they are the ones who use the options. And if we were to ask much more, what do you think your body needs? What do you think your mind needs? What do you think you need right now? We would have a wealth of information, but we don't ask.
Oh, Carla, you just warmed my heart is just glowing. I feel like E.T. here, because that's worth $1 million for anyone who's listening. That is such a nugget of important information for anyone who's interacting in the healthcare field. I mean, isn't that at the heart of it, to invite someone to identify what do you know, what do you want. Oh, please speak more to that. We're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes, but before we do, please, if you would, speak to that and how in your wonderful program that becomes part of the teaching tool for the nurse.
Part of it is, again, in the assessment. Most of our assessment tools are very categorized, and they're information that we want as health providers, not necessarily what our clients want to give us. And we've socialized clients into giving us exactly what we want. And oftentimes, it's not, it's helpful, but it's not all that helpful in terms of what we could use as information in order to help them. And I think if we used many more open-ended questions, and I know nurses will tell me, physicians will tell me, we only have 15 minutes to see the client. Well, I think we can use that 15 minutes differently. And I think that we have to be more political, and I think that we have to be stronger in terms of our own practices and say, wait a minute, we cannot practice the way we need to practice to help people heal the way they need to. And, you know, in some instances, our clients, the public, are behind us in this. And we have to use that public power. They want compassionate care. They want kind care. They want health care providers that are interested, that are gentle with them, that really look at them as total human beings. That's what they're asking for.
Oh, absolutely, Carla. And we're going to talk a whole lot more about this when we come back from the break. We're going to talk about motivational interviewing, the most important question. We're going to talk about the four questions necessary for healing. So to our listening audience, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
2 6-year-olds. They go to the same school, sit in the same classroom, have the same teacher. And they're both very bright. Yet these 2 6-year-olds are very different. One is thriving in school. The other is struggling. A lot of kids who struggle to learn are smart. They just learn differently. And the more you know as a parent, the better off your child will be. If you act now and get the proper help, your child can do well in school and in life. So if you think that there's something wrong, do something right. Now, get help. For free information on how to help your child, visit www.focusonlearning.org. www.focusonlearning.org or call 1-888-478-MIND. Do it for your child. Do it for yourself. But do it now. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coordinated Campaign for Learning Disabilities.
Hey, you're the new tech support guy, right?
Right. I'm Dave Lewis, man. Good to meet you.
You too. You know, the way these things crash, you're going to be busy.
That's all right. Hey, listen, I'm going to hit the men's room, okay? Nice meeting you. I'll see you around, I'm sure.
Okay, but you can't go in there.
Executive washroom, huh?
No. Can't you see the sign? That bathroom is whites only.
Whites only?
Yeah, wait, just 1 second. Hey, Karen, where's that colored bathroom again? I think it's upstairs somewhere. If you go through that exit, there's a staircase. I think it's up on 3.
Okay. Thanks.
Imagine what America would be like today if Martin Luther King never had a dream. It's time to honor his memory. Visit buildthedream.org to learn about the Martin Luther King National Memorial Project in Washington, D.C. You can help him stand among our nation's heroes and preserve his message of hope for future generations. Visit buildthedream.org. Together, we can help make history. A public service message brought to you by the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Foundation and the Ad Council.
We're back here at Celebrating Whole Health with our guest today, Dr. Carla Mariana from NYU, and she is the Holistic Nurse of the Year named by the American Holistic Nurses Association. And before the break, Carla set off a whole series of incredible topics that we could talk about, and we want to go over those different topics one by one. Carla, you raised the question of probably the most important question that we can ask our patients, which is, what do you want? What do you need? What do you know? And then you went on to talk about what patients are looking for, what we're all looking for in terms of our connectedness with our caregivers. Do you want to speak to the four questions that we know are critical to healing? One is anyone listening? Does anyone care? What exactly is wrong with me? And can I control any of the outcome? Do you want to speak? Because I'm sure that those four questions are built right into the curriculum that you have developed.
Well, does anyone care? Comes right back to the fact that holism is about people. And I think in our educational systems of healthcare professionals, we forget to teach compassion. And in our holistic nurse practitioner program, we not only teach compassion, but it is imperative to role model it by treating the students compassionately, because they practice how they're treated. So I think that's very important, that neophytes and practitioners who are coming into the field of holistic nursing or medicine or social work be treated themselves compassionately and learn how to treat patients and clients with compassion, in caring, with tenderness, with respect, honoring their particular needs, their particular wants, their particular desires. And this hopefully is coming back into professional education. But for a long time, I think because of the focus on technology, has not been a part of professional education. So we make a concerted effort to imbue caring, compassion, even love. And I use love in a generic sense. We are very close to our students in the program, because I think when you're dealing with clients, there's an intimacy that you don't have in other situations. You don't touch people in other situations. I mean, even if you bump into someone, it's like, oh, you bumped into me. But in nursing, we're constantly touching people. So there's a sacredness about this relationship with clients. And they, in essence, are putting themselves in our hands. They are trusting us. And we have to honor and love that kind of trust that they're giving us. And that takes a great deal of caring. So that's one thing. People want to be cared about. People want to be respected. People want to be honored. And I think in healthcare today, oftentimes they feel like they are the last thing in the world that is cared about. I would agree with you.
I was having a conversation with a nurse the other day, and I've actually mentioned this once before in the conversation I was having with one of our holistic nurses, that this was a male nurse I was talking to, and we were talking to the point of how the medical field is wanting to incorporate so much of the internet into providing services, because it's a bottom line thing. You can provide internet services on many levels and you can save a whole lot of money. However, what is missing from that interaction, no matter how you cut the cake, unless we are going to direct people to have relationships with machines as substitutes for human interaction, we're really conditioning our population today. And this is a bottom line issue, and I'd love for you to speak to it. We're conditioning people to talk to machines, whether, as Dion pointed out yesterday, the answering machine, but to go online and to talk to a doctor or a nurse or get health information from a computer or to have a prescription or a diagnosis via computer, where in fact this seems to be contraindicated to all of the humanistic and compassionate care that you're addressing. Would you speak to that? Because here you are in the middle of this enormously sophisticated city of New York City, where so much is going on, and it's as if your organization, NYU, and the nurses are really a beacon of light in the middle of a lot of developmental technology there.
That is a very, very interesting question. And I think it comes down to style. We're reaching nurses maybe all over the country by radio. And they can't see our nonverbal behavior. We can't touch them while we're talking. And it's how we reach them in terms of what we say and how we say it.
Good morning, Nurse.
And,
speaking.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, oh. Carla, we're on. Everything's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I purchased a house on Monday.
Hello?
Okay. Hi, Bill. Yeah, no, Bill is on the phone and we can hear him, but continue talking, Carla, because you're coming across just fine.
Okay. I've had the experience of being, I teach crisis intervention and have had the experience of being on a telephone hotline with people who are in crisis. And you never see these people. You just talk with them on the telephone. And it is amazing, through your style and how you speak with them and your intent. That is the most important thing, your intent. That can be very effective in dealing with them. And even though we have these technological ways of communication, I think through intent, through words that are used, that feelings can come across. Maybe not the same way, maybe not exactly the same way, but I think they can be used differently. They need not be so cold all the time. But I think in communication, I'd like to speak just for a minute, if I may, about intent.
Please do, Carla.
In terms of any kind of intervention, I oftentimes tell the student that no matter what intervention, it's the intent that's most important. And if you do nothing more than intend for the wholeness and well-being of the person, you have done an inordinate amount, no matter what the outcome of the intervention. And that's why we should just give up the outcome, let it go, because the intent for wholeness and well-being is what helps people heal.
Well, that is just a terrific perspective on intentionality and outcome, and I think what I'm extracting from your response, which was so important, is that if we're going to use technology and we're going to direct patient care through technology, then we have to raise the level of intentionality and the level of our integrity of communication, so that technology then becomes a healing process in and of itself.
Yeah, something as simple, even if you're using email or telephone or something like that, a follow-up call, an unexpected follow-up call to a client just to see how they're doing, means so much to them, and it takes all of 4 minutes. And that's what I mean by intent. And it's technological, but it's what you do and how you do it.
Yes, but it is generated, and I think that I'm sure all realize that the generation of that intent is from the heart or the mind or the spirit of the caregiver. And isn't that the challenge that holism faces today, Carla, that we are in a society, in a culture which is marvelous and rich and full of opportunity, but we can get lost in the intentionality of why we're there or why we're doing what we're doing. And isn't that where your program and the American Holistic Nurses and all of the holism that's being done, isn't that where that comes in?
Yes, very much so. And this is what's so wonderful about AHNA's code of ethics, and one of the things that we teach in the NYU program is that this intent of loving kindness, this intent of wholeness and well-being is not just towards clients, it's towards your colleagues and it's toward the environment. Nurses need to be treated also with honor and respect and loving kindness. And we don't treat each other that way. We don't treat disciplines in, on our teams that way. And the same as our clients are craving for this caring and compassion and understanding, the healthcare providers are craving for the same thing.
Oh, absolutely, Carla. On that wonderful comment, and we're going to talk more when we come back from our break, on that wonderful comment, we want to remember that this program at nursedaily.com offers a voice, a national voice to nurses, so that we can listen to the Dr. Carla Marianos of the holistic nursing profession, and we can hear this important information. So please let your colleagues know, and we are going to come back to talk more about how we truly are people who need people. We'll be back in 2 minutes with more of Dr. Carla Mariano.
Okay, so what do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? Someone who'll dance the night away. And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers and their community coalition to raise money for kids' after-school programs. All right, right. So what do you get when you cross a barber and a chef? A meal with all the trimmings. And that's what they're serving at a local youth center. Local merchants came together with their community coalition to make people's lives a little better. Now, what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, happier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So with your civic group, club, PTA, even your employer, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
This is Brad Paisley. A great song has a way of tugging at your heart, but nothing tugs at my heart like the kids who are being helped at Shriners Hospitals. I know firsthand because I'm a Shriner. The Shriners provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care to kids, totally free of charge, and they combine that care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
We are back at Celebrating Whole Health with Dr. Carla Mariano, the Holistic Nurse of the Year, named by the American Holistic Nurses Association. And we have been talking about so many things. We've been talking about our relationships as people, as caregivers, as human beings. And in discussing all of this, at the beginning of the conversation, Dr. Carla was talking about New York City as a metaphor to taking a look at holism. And if we go back to that metaphor of New York City and holism, we come back to this looped dialogue, so to speak, about how we are all working. You were talking about how nurses, doctors, physicians, caregivers, every one of us who is human, we're all moving towards this desire, this need to be seen, to be heard, to be respected, to have mindful, respectful presence so that we can be valued for who we are as human beings. And isn't that Isn't that what a lot of what you're speaking to is, getting to the yes of being valued as a human being, Carla?
Absolutely, Georgiana. I think that is the need of the human condition, to be valued, to be respected, to be loved. And no matter what role we play in our life, professional role or personal role, I think that's the basis of it. And I think that's why there's so much tension, and so much anger and so much anxiety in our society as a whole, not only in healthcare, because people don't feel as if they're valued or listened to or respected. And as a result, they treat other people the same way. And I think it's rampant in healthcare, where that the health providers don't feel valued or listened to, and therefore it sort of rubs off on our clients and patients. And I think the other thing is, because of the amount of stress that our health providers, particularly our nurses, are dealing with, that they don't have the time or the energy sometimes to really think that caring can be an integral part of their practice. And one of the things we do in the program is we teach our students some very simple techniques that help them center and be present in the moment, that they can practice immediately. And I think that all nurses should be taught these stress reduction, stress management techniques, because if they learn how to center, if they learn how to ground themselves, if they learn how to stay in the moment, then they can listen. And the minute you begin to listen and hear, you can allow yourself to respect and to value what someone else is saying. Again, it goes right back to letting go, getting the ego out of it. It's not about you. Someone else's opinion may be different than yours. Someone else's value may be different than yours. But it's not about you. It's about them. The other thing, I know I'm getting a little off the topic here, but we teach a lot in the program about forgiveness.
Oh, yes.
And I think we carry around not only guilt, but issues that we can't seem to let go of and we can't seem to forgive. And there's such garbage and baggage that we carry around years and years and years, and they're so heavy on us that, again, it doesn't allow us to really honor other people or ourselves even.
Thank
and
you.
A lot of this valuing comes first from valuing yourself.
Carla, thank you for bringing that up. That is such a profoundly important piece of all of this, isn't it? We were very lucky last year to have Dr. Fred Dodd, who wrote a book called Forgive for Good. It's actually been around on the talk show circuit, and it's a wonderful book. He did a lot of research out at Stanford University on the Forgiveness Project. And what was remarkable about his work and the work of his colleagues is that forgiveness, the inability to forgive, was seen as a major obstacle to happiness, wellness, success, and all kinds of intimacy. And what you're bringing up is so important, and you are always welcome to digress, because isn't that something each one of us individually is struggling with on a daily basis, all of those hurts and those insults? And the biggest insult sometimes is not being heard, mm-hmm. which is why we can't let go. It's kind of like this, it's a domino effect, you know, where we can't, we're not being heard, we have a problem with, you know, feeling valued, so we hold on to our ego, we can't let go, and then we can't forgive the cycle, so it just keeps kind of looping.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it sounds as if in your program, which I want to take it myself. I have to, I want to move back to New York and take this program. It sounds so wonderful. It sounds that in the program.
This
what,
is New York. Do you hear the
oh,
siren?
Oh, well, we hear the siren. You know, we love you, New York. Okay. In your program, you address the key issues. If we were to make a list of all the important things that you've discussed today, you're hitting all the key issues that allow the student and the faculty to come to a compassionate exchange with one another so that the student is growing, the student is learning, the teachers are growing, the teachers are learning. Do you want to talk as an educator? Because you are incredibly published, and I know you're going to be very, very modest about this, but you are a highly published educator. As an educator, would you speak to this process of education?
Well, I'll speak to it in a couple of ways. I'll speak to it generally, I think, in terms of nursing, because I think that's where it has to begin. I think in holistic nursing, which reaches a very, very small sector of nurses who are being educated in the art and science of caring, they are the fortunate ones because they're receiving the theoretical and the clinical foundations for caring and for holism. So I feel very secure about that. But I think what's needed is we've got to go back to people who are coming into the profession, and we've got to begin focusing on the teaching at that level of caring and wholeness. Because if we don't socialize them at that level, they're not going to be the practitioners that are going to be able to practice in this holistic way. And then their practice is going to be repetitive of what we've been seeing. And it's almost like we have to do a tremendous amount of faculty development. We have to convince faculty of the importance of this holistic paradigm, the importance of understanding that people are wholes and not parts.
So much of that falls on the personal viewpoint and the philosophy of the nurse educator. I think that that's what you're addressing.
Yes, and that caring is an integral, if not one of the most important parts of nursing practice. I had a colleague that I was talking about, you know, introducing stress management to students very early in the program, and the response was, well, that's a good idea. You can let the student organization, that would be a great idea for the student organization to do, but what they need are computer skills. And I thought, well, you know, they do need computer skills, but they need something to help them personally and professionally throughout the rest of their lives. So I think it's a matter, we have a responsibility, I think, as holistic nurse educators, to do a lot of work with our faculty colleagues, to role model for them that we need to introduce this this philosophy and these particular holistic practices very early in nursing education.
So I hear the challenge in this, Carla, is to create a body of nurse practitioners and nurse educators who have the, if you will, the indoctrination, the philosophy, the who are bathed and steeped in this way of being in relationship, be it with patient or with student, that can then bring this to the classroom as professors, as people who are passing on and mentoring the wisdom of holism. And as we're coming towards the end of our program, first of all, I want to thank you, and I know that the listening audience would thank you for just a very important conversation. And I would like to ask you to give us your final thoughts about your program and holistic nursing when we come back from a short break. We would really appreciate knowing how you would like to send a message, if you could, to all the nurses in the United States regarding holism, what you would have to say to them about it. But we will be back in 2 minutes, and we will be closing our show in just a few more minutes. So don't go away. We'll be back.
Oh, great shot. Hi, I'm Robert.
And I'm Mabel.
Now that we're retired, we have more time for doing the things we've always wanted, like shrugging off the future of our nation's youth.
It's so easy. All you have to do is not support after-school programs. 15 million youngsters in this country are left unsupervised after school, and our genuine lack of concern can help make sure they find trouble, not opportunities.
Doing nothing has never been this easy.
Rummage sales, winery tours,
yes.
Tai Chi classes, oh, there's all sorts of great ways to ignore the needs of children. If you want to show how little you care about after-school programs, don't call 1-866-KIDS today.
And don't log on to afterschoolnow.org. Mabel, it's a wonderful feeling to make such a negative impact.
I love you, Robert. After-school programs. Ignore them and they'll go away. A public service message brought to you by the After-School Alliance, the Mott Foundation, and the Ad Council.
AIDS has created over 14 million orphans worldwide. That's the equivalent of every child under 5 in America, with nobody to watch over them. To help, please go to apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
Brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back for our final few minutes with Dr. Carla Moriano, Holistic Nurse of the Year, named by the American Holistic Nurses Association. Carla, we want to hear your closing thoughts. And before that, could we have a website again for New York University School of Nurse Practitioner Holistic Studies? Could you give us that website again?
It's, I believe, www.nyu.edu, and then you can just go to the various schools and get the Division of Nursing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Before the break, we were asking and inviting you to offer us some closing thoughts. If you could speak directly to all of the nurses across the country, be they holistic or not particularly focused on holistic care, what would you share with them about holism, how it can change their life and their nursing, and how it can enrich the profession?
Well, I would say love yourself, honor yourself, value yourself, and listen to your inner wisdom, because then you'll be able to care for your client, honor your client, and value your clients.
Well, I think with those words, it would be a wonderful time to thank you and just know that we have been so enriched by your sharing and your generosity. We hope that you will return here to Nurse Daily. And if you unfortunately cannot do that, time not permitting, we would love to hear more from your colleagues and the nurses of the Holistic Nurse Practitioner Program at NYU. You have been a joy and a gift. And Dr. Carla Moriano, we thank you so much for your being with us today.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to speak with you.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back Monday with Leah Gatos, who is one of the developers of the practice standards for the Advanced Holistic Nursing Certification. So tune in again on Monday right here. This is Celebrating Whole Health, and I'm your host, Georgiana Donatio. Have a great day.